So, would you introduce yourselves, please? Let's start there.
Alexis Taylor.
Felix Martin.
And are you in a band?
We're both in a band together, Hot Chip.
What you're doing is you're doing some very sophisticated pop music. But it's funny, as we were walking over here and I did crack a joke about the name of the band, I got a little bit of pushback. So I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, as you're looking, and we're going to get a little deeper into this, but as you're composing, as you're putting out records, as you're, you know, talking about, you know, monkeys and, you know, and over, and you're, you know, and you're doing what is really pretty sophisticated stuff, you're treating it in a way that lets people know that you know what the heck you're doing, right?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, for anything that we do, there's going to be an element of knowing what you're doing and being knowing about something. But also maybe there's quite a lot of naivety in the music as well. It's a mixture of those things. It doesn't mean we're kind of doing everything with irony, if on some occasions we are doing things with irony.
That was a very ironic statement.
Well,
But all kidding,
you know, there's room for irony in lots of ways of life, and
well, there's, you know,
there's room for humor and sophistication and serious ideas all together, you know.
In pop music, I think there's only two ways to go: the way you're talking about, or just pander, right?
What's that?
Well, you can either pander to the masses, or you can make the music you believe in and hope that the masses, or not caring about the masses, that they make their way to you.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean you have to choose one path or another. I mean, it's all a bit of a balancing act, isn't it? And a lot of music is somewhere in between the two. Probably that's where we are as well.
Yeah, I guess nobody really turned to Frank Zappa and said, "So, Mr. Zappa, what the heck are you doing?"
I thought quite a lot of people turned to him and said that, probably.
Well, but then they got to a point where they said, you know what, the second we pin him down, and maybe this is the point that I'm getting to, that half the fun, I think, with Hot Chip is that the second that somebody writes a review or there's a quote in the NME and they try to pin you down on something, you make a right turn at 75 miles an hour. But you're not attempting to do that. You're just doing what feels right.
Yeah, I think so. But at the same time, we've always, yeah, I think you're right to say that we've always confused people, not necessarily always on purpose, but we've never had a very clear direction. I think that's fair to say, probably. Is it fair to say? Not really. In the songwriting, I think there is a kind of clarity and something that's moving forward all the time, but in general, as a pop band, we're a bit of a mess, really.
You know, the perception of this band is that this is obviously a machine-based band, and that it couldn't be farther from the truth.
Yeah, I think this idea that the music changed starkly from being acoustic-based to something sort of that is presented as the opposite of that, I think it's different for everyone in the band how they feel about the music we've made, and I sometimes get the impression from Joe that he really just is embarrassed of like the early stuff we did and saw it as like a deliberate change to make something different that was influenced more by Destiny's Child and, you know, Garage and stuff, whereas I just think we were equally influenced by that kind of music and some music that you might play on an acoustic guitar, and I'm still influenced by quite a wide spectrum, and maybe I don't listen to the Mexico EP very much anymore, but I don't particularly feel embarrassed of it. It's just, I think that we're just constantly making whatever music we want to make from track to track. It's different rather than we used to do this and now we do that.
Yeah, it's not like Dylan going electric or something.
Well, again, you know, he probably just,
he didn't see it like that
probably
either,
quite fun to pick up a electric guitar and then fun to pick up an acoustic guitar.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
But if Dylan started playing the trombone,
well, it's trombone all over Rainy Day Women.
That's true.
The start of that album is quite a kind of strange start to the record. But I know what you're saying. But I guess people, musicians, maybe expect that they can just do whatever they want musically and hope that people will still take an interest in it if people have taken an interest up to that point. But obviously sometimes people are, you know, people just are not interested anymore and the bands feel disappointed. But
so one of the things that comes up for me, especially these days, is that I get, you know, I mean, back in the day when I was spinning in clubs in the 80s, there were always remixes, but there was always like one remix or two remixes. You know, there was the 12-inch remix of the hit. And of course, you could be remixing your songs for the next gazillion years.
Yeah, I think it can be a bit baffling. And maybe sometimes we'd like to go back to the days where there's just one definitive remix of a track or something like that, because at the moment, yeah, there's kind of dozens of remixes of some of our songs, and we don't necessarily like all of them that much, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of easy for music to feel diluted if there are thousands of remixes, and I don't know, but sometimes in our case we have commissioned remixes because people in the band are maybe in search of a certain response to the track, and maybe Joe's thinking, well, if we get that person to remix, Felix is thinking, well, if we get that person, we're going to end up with some quite interesting music, you know, and we're just, that's all we're after, really. But I don't really know what to say about the fact that anyone and everyone can now kind of remix and make music. I wouldn't really want to say that's a bad thing. It might just be that you have to choose what you want to listen to.
Yeah.
When you do your remixes, which you have certainly remixed the list is way long. In fact, when I looked at it this morning, I hadn't kept up. And I thought, okay, I thought I can't scroll this much. My fingers are beginning to hurt for how many Hot Chip remixes there are. So have there been any interesting reactions from any of the artists that you've remixed to your remixes that you've either said spot on or daft?
Well, I think probably my favorite one to do was the Kraftwerk one, and that was really nice because they were very positive about our remixes, and to have feedback from a kind of people that I consider a musical kind of heroes or big influence, to, you know, just to have feedback about that was a really nice moment for me, I think.
I don't tend to get that many. I can't think of any feedback. Like a lot of the remixes that we've done feel quite impersonal in a way. Like someone somewhere, a record label, has asked for a remix by Hot Chip, and if we like the artist involved, we tend to do it. But sadly, there hasn't been that much kind of feedback. The only real feedback I can remember was when me and Joe did the Robert Wyatt remix, and then we were working with him on his contributions to some material of ours, and he was describing the end of our remix as if a kind of a bomb was going off or something. He seemed to be quite shocked by our remix. So
that's good. From Robert Wyatt, that is a thumb. That's a two thumbs up from Robert Wyatt, right? A lot of people, you know, react when I say Hot Chip, oh, they're a relatively new band, and I turn around and say, wait. This band's been at it for 8 years. So the trajectory and the perception are two separate things, aren't they? Tell me a little bit about the trajectory, and where do you feel you are now in all of this?
Well, it's happened kind of quite gradually for us, and it's not been an overnight success story by any means. So we've had to work for it, and we've got our feet on the ground, I think. We haven't ever got too carried away with it. We don't really take it for granted too much. We're just happy that we can come and play concerts and sell tickets to our shows and be popular at festivals all around the world.
You're popular it doesn't surprise me you're immensely popular in Japan, but where's the strangest place that you've suddenly get an email from somebody in some really strange place and you go, oh my gosh, I don't understand it?
We've never really had emails. We've had a lot of requests from Mexico for us to go and play there. Not that that's strange, but We've never been to Mexico before. There's a lot of kind of interest and enthusiasm.
Play one of those big Mexico City bullfighting stadiums.
Maybe, yeah. We are going there in November, so watch this space.
That could be interesting. Records are one thing, but your live shows, you change it up constantly. So do you wake up in the morning and say, we're going to completely change up this song, or is it completely improv that you're just suddenly there, and next thing you know, it turns into a complete, utter, different...
It's slow. It's more of a kind of process of evolution, playing the songs hundreds of times. They naturally change over time, and we don't really tend to improvise or change things that much on stage. It's more reimagining them in rehearsals and as we go along.
Yeah, it's more often that little things will change within a performance. Little, you know, nuances will be subtly different, or by adding like live drums, as we've just done for this tour, it makes us all play in a slightly different way. So it's not so much that we plan to totally reinvent it and have a clear idea of how we'll do that, but maybe sometimes from playing a song a lot, you realize that it reminds you of someone else's material that you like, and then an influence comes back into it. So with Made in the Dark, the title track, we've played that a number of different ways live, and the latest way that we just played it this morning for MTV felt quite a lot like sort of Donny Hathaway sort of soul version, and then other times we've played that song, it's been closer to sort of spiritualized or something, with quite a kind of wall of sound start to it, and you know, kind of loud, quiet dynamic to it. Things gradually change according to your mood and what you're listening to and how you're feeling.
I want you to ask each other, I'm going to give you the microphone, I want you to ask each other a question you've always wanted to be asked in an interview.
Felix, what are you thinking about and inspired by when you bring the electron machine drums combined with MPC to this music in Hot Chip?
I'm inspired by creating rhythm tracks that are very minimal and simple, with stark synthetic sounds and a very sparing use of effects to create rhythmic dynamics.
Sometimes I think there's a kind of influence from bands like This Heat, and also much more recent like techno. Do you hear any of that yourself?
Yeah, I think so. I'm interested in like looping and building up unusual rhythms through using delays and things like that, that you hear in This Heat music quite a lot, and also the combination of acoustic percussion with synthetic sounds, very synthetic sounds that you get in some of the techno that I like as well.
Thanks.
What is the kind of essence of your obsession with Leonard Cohen and his lyricism, and how does it inspire you to create music?
Well, I think of Leonard Cohen as just one of many lyrical and musical influences on what we're doing, what I'm doing. But seeing him recently in concert, having listened to him for years, I was struck by how every single line he sang was startling and so amusing and so powerful, and there was so much more in every single word that he sang than in most music I've heard. He's
brought the songs to life.
Yeah, definitely. And his kind of devotion to the words and saying something that expresses a lot of himself, but in a very eloquent form, and that is sort of changing all the way through each song. So it's not just that's the song that's about this one mood, but it's incredibly sophisticated, and so much of his character comes through. And maybe, you know, someone like that is an inspiration to everyone.
It's kind of a combination of exposing yourself in a very raw way, but at the same time it being a very warm experience.
Yeah.
Not something that's going to frighten.
Yeah, he seems to be fairly kind of balanced, so he can really make quite serious comments at the same time as kind of having a good sense of humour. But I mean, that doesn't really do justice to what he does.
We've done a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs as the bread, and then songs by other artists in between.
Okay, well, maybe for the first layer of bread, we could have Crap Craft Dinner from our first album. And then, do you want to think about the contents, or should we do the other layer of bread, the other hot...
Could it be the One Pure Thought, Dominic Oilberg remix?